And I think we're back. Are we back? Yeah, we're back. I'm here with Ben Bromley. Ben, again, thanks for joining us this morning here on Mornings at McFarland's.
It's my pleasure.
Good morning, now that you've shown up.
I've shown up. I exist.
So, I couldn't resist just getting you once. I'm sorry. Now, Ben had a darn hard time getting here, so we really have to applaud Ben for persevering in the face of darkness and despair and making it to McFarland's this morning for our show. But, Ben, we've been talking about the newspaper business, and I know that you are actually an accomplished playwright, too, which I'm very envious of, because I've wanted to do that for so long, and it just, you got to find the time to do it, which I'm sure you detest too, that playwriting is sort of like a purging of your soul in a way, isn't it? But you have a show, the one that I'm aware of, I think you actually have a couple plays now that you've written, right?
I've written the one full-length play, Fish Wrap, which is the one you, that you have in hand, and I've written several short plays as well.
Okay. Yep. So Fish Wrap was the first time to do a full-length
deal.
Long Day's Journey into Night.
Indeed.
So, gotcha, okay. So, and Fish Wrap actually ties into your experience as a newspaper person, correct?
Oh, absolutely. It's based entirely on it.
So, in fact, it's set in a newspaper office, similar, I'm assuming, to Badger, any Badger paper you might go to in the old state of Wisconsin.
You got it.
Although you have pretty good staff in that one, too, which is kind of interesting.
Well, that's just that I always say that the interesting thing about the newspaper business is not only do you meet interesting people out and about in the community or the people who walk through your doors, you also work with some interesting characters.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And interesting characters are what playwriting is all about.
And indeed. If you don't have something interesting, then it's just, who wants to watch that anyways? One, I would gather that some of those people are sort of combinations of people you've known, too.
That's just it. I always tell people that people who enjoyed the play, I said, I wish I could take credit for great creativity. But to be honest with you, most of the things that happened in that play actually happened at the BNR or other publications.
Sure.
And most of those characters are based on actual people, which I think,
yeah.
I wrote it a few years ago, and it was produced September 2014 at the Al Ringling Theater, which
okay.
as a fundraiser for the theater. So that was obviously a great honor to have your work
sure.
produced there.
Definitely.
And what was interesting about it is that a lot of people who came to see it would recognize the characters, because
mm-hmm.
these are people that they probably had met,
right.
and also some of the circumstances, which were based on things that have actually happened. And so there was, I would like to think it stands alone, that even if you were from West Virginia or California, you would
right.
still think it's amusing. But for the people who know the actual events, I think there was sort of a little extra inside joke to it.
Yeah, well, it ends up being one of those things where, what's the old Dragnet thing? The names have been changed to protect the innocent,
protect
but
the innocent.
Situations have been preserved to enhance the stupidity.
That's exactly
but
it.
Is what it comes down to. And I guess I was intrigued by the fact that I think one of the things that playwriting does do, it allows us to condense life into manageable moments, if you will, or manageable amounts of time, so that the impact of what's going on can be much more concentrated. So to me, playwriting, really good plays are usually laser light in the fluorescence that we live in. You know, so we've got this kind of idea that you've really been able, I think, to kind of punch through some things that happen in small town life and in big town life. I mean, it's just the players are different, and maybe you don't have quite as much personal connection to people, but I mean, I love the ad person that's in the show, the, you know, wonderful gal who's doing so hard, you know, hard to learn something that's totally outside of her water, out of her, you know, milk shed, and she's getting things wrong, like the clock ad, you know, forgetting the L in a clock ad, you know, grandfather clock sale, no L, imagine
right.
what that would
and
do.
And I have the actual printed copy to prove that such
that
an ad did indeed get published. But what's interesting about that character, the ad sales character, is that as a newbie, she sort of serves as the audience by proxy, because everyone is the experienced people in the newsroom are explaining to her why the industry is facing certain challenges. So
sure.
she's convenient that way, where she can sort of stand in for the audience who also might not understand everything that's happening. I guess just to sort of condense the plot, basically, the way I started out writing it was a small town newspaper that's facing sort of a pair of crises. One is that it's having financial troubles. Another is that it's trying to break a major story that's going to ruffle some feathers, which in small communities, small papers, that can sometimes be an issue depending on whose feathers you're ruffling.
And there were outside forces that kind of forced that upon them in
right.
both cases. One is completely outside of their control. The other one is within. You're almost being attacked from with outside and inside at the same time.
Right.
Because isn't it the new owner that is the one that's saying pursue this story, even though there's some trepidation on part of the staff that
right.
we don't really know if we want to go here, because you're well aware of who you're going to tick off,
right?
That whole thing, right?
Right.
So without giving away too much, sorry.
Right. Well, and that's and where I got into it too. So I sort of got to the point where I wrote the first act. I wasn't quite sure where to take it. It sat for a while, and then eventually, as this whole challenge facing the print media happened with the advent of the internet and the segmenting and fracturing of the audience, then all of a sudden I was like, okay, this is it. This is where we take the story. And what happens with the staff is they try to figure out, okay, what do we do about the internet? How do we handle things? Do we keep giving the news away, or do we find another way to survive? And once I started going that direction, I thought, okay, now we've got a full two-act play here, and then so then I had to do all the work and finish it.
Well, and how do you? I mean, one of the topics I think that the show explores, which is it's done in a comic vein, which I really appreciate because I think good comedy is. It's not very funny, you know, when you really stop to think about it. And, what makes it funny is that it's not you. And what makes it funny is that you recognize it, but you're not threatened by it. You know, basically, right. you're not personally, your skin isn't in that game, you know, so to speak. But it strikes me that one of the topics it raises is what news do you publish? You know, at what point is your responsibility to your readership and the larger community greater than your responsibility to your ticket, you know, your bread ticket, basically, when it comes down to it, because there are going to be constituencies. I don't care what side of a coin you explore, there are going to be constituencies that are upset by that. So how did you feel about that? Was that something you were consciously aware of as you were writing? Was that kind of a purging of your own, you know?
Well, yeah, that's just that. And I guess that would be one rare case in Fish Wrap that wasn't necessarily based on real life, because I think there's a perception that readers probably think that we avoid certain stories and, you know, just because we don't want to get ourselves in hot water. And that honestly has not been my experience. I mean, I know what happens out there, but I can't think of any time where I've been told not to pursue a story because Joe Blow is not going to like it.
Do you think sometimes that the stories that you go at, I know I've challenged, like I have a nephew that went into journalism. I challenged him about truly being a journalist, because being a journalist, I think, is a very, very difficult and almost sacred role, if you will, because you have to be able to be bipartisan. You have to be able to be non-judgmental. You have to be able to convince yourself that you're wrong about things, you know, so that you can give a fair and equitable, you know, presentation of any issue. And yet the media keeps getting slammed for, you only see the liberal side. You're obviously pawns of the liberal establishment. How do you fight that? What do you think is the... Do you find that there are reporters that are just on a liberal crusade and they just need to be, hey, you know, take some conservative pills once in a while so you learn that there is another side of this equation?
Right. Well, I think that's different, too. I think, you know, in the post-Watergate, Woodward and Bernstein era, you had this flood of crusading journalists in the 70s, you know, that were coming at it from a certain angle, and I just don't see that as much. I think generally newspaper people are, you know, right-brainers, and they're going to, creative people, generally, that's a big generalization, but are going to be drawn to a creative field. So you have a certain level of that, but yeah, I don't really run into people who are, you know, political pawns of any establishment, and that they're trying to somehow put their view out there. Even at the local level, we'll have reporters will get accused of, you know, being pro this, anti that,
right?
And
right.
I just don't find that to be the case.
So it's really, and to me, it ends up being at the end of the day an issue of trust. You know, that you're trying to reveal truth, and that you really, as long as you're true to that goal of revealing the truth and the facts. You know, Joe Friedian is, you know, just tell me the facts, not just the facts, man. That's all I want to know is the facts.
Right.
And that's difficult to do sometimes, because the facts sometimes are boring, you know. So, and when you're a creative person, you kind of want to, you know, make them a little spicier.
These facts are so inconvenient. If only I could just make them up. That's where it gets back to your point about, you know, playwriting sort of being maybe like the fantasy camp is, okay, here I actually do get to make up everything. I'm not supposed to make up things in the paper.
Yeah, you have a wonderful thing with the Radio Dispatch thing going on, right?
Right.
Throughout the whole thing. And it's just the Radio Dispatch just makes me crack up every time one comes out, because it's just like, okay, that's just a little smidgen of what really does happen
right.
in a small town.
Right.
But it's like a callback to reality of, you know, just remember the world outside is much loonier than the world here.
Yeah, adding the police scanner, that actually happened late in the process, too. I had at least written probably a first of course, several final drafts. You know how that goes. But
at some
point, you know, I'm in the office one day and the scanner goes off and something sort of goofy came over the police scanner. And I thought, oh, I should totally do that. I should just throw in a police scanner break every 5 minutes. And what we ended up doing is the guy who did the voice of the scanner actually ended up sort of freestyling, and he would come up with his own. He would alternate them each performance and just sort of come up with new ones. And so in my post-production version of the script, I took the ones that got the biggest response, and those are the ones that you're reading.
So we're able to condense down the best of the best, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
The Radio Scanner at its best of best. So that was actually live, too, then? He was on stage and just speaking in and pushing it out. Okay, excellent.
Yep.
Well, those of you that have not seen Fish Wrap, I'm trying to get a production of Fish Wrap done in this area, too, folks. So keep your eyes posted to the newspapers and to radio. Hopefully you'll see that show come of age again. I personally think it should be done all over the country, so we'll do whatever we can to get that happen.
No, that'd be great.
These aging medias of internet and radio and whatnot. Ben, you also have an event coming up. You're part of a larger group, the Cabin Fever group or something.
That's
of
right.
That nature, right?
Our group is it's CAB Theater. It stands for Creative Alliance of Baraboo Theater. Okay. And CAB Theater, our main fundraiser each year, we call it Cabin Fever. We do CAB puns on a lot of our event titles. This year, our theme is, it's a talent show. It's going to be called Baraboo's Got Talent. And it's based on the NBC show, America's Got Talent.
Sure.
I'll be emceeing. We have 8 exciting acts. They're going to be performing Saturday evening at 7 at the Clarion Hotel in West Baraboo.
Really, right on Highway 12 there?
You
right?
Got it. Okay. It'll be fun.
They have a little stage area in there. I guess
we're going to be performing in the banquet hall. It's kind of a multi-use room where you could do a wedding reception or you could put on a talent show.
Okay, so that's this Saturday.
This coming Saturday.
And this is a fundraiser, so are there tickets to the event or is it just...
Yes, in fact, you can buy tickets on our website, which is cabtheater.org.
So that's
C-A-B-T-H-E-A-T-R-E .org.
Okay.
And what we love about it is it's always a fun event. We did a couple of comedic male beauty pageants for Cabin Fever, which went over pretty well. We did an 80s prom.
With bathing suits, I hope.
Yes.
Okay, that has to be
We did, some guys were in drag, some guys went as guys. It was a whole scene.
That must have gotten some talk in the paper, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
There are several compromising photos of me online in various stages of dress, if you're interested.
That's right. You mentioned one of those earlier. I thought, thank God there are no pictures of me in a Speedo out there.
So we did a couple of the pageants. We did an 80s prom. Last year, we did a parody of the Ed Sullivan Show. And this year, we thought a talent show would be fun. There's so many talented people in the area, we thought we'd show them off. So and what's great about it is that it helps us pay for our other activities throughout the year. Some of the things we do don't make a lot of money. I mentioned short plays. We put on 2 productions of original works written by local playwrights each year.
Okay.
And that's kind of a break-even proposition if you're lucky.
Sure.
We do
sure.
children's theater workshops and various things. So Cabin Fever helps us be able to not have to beg, borrow, and steal to make those events happen.
Right. So you're not going after the same people all the time for... another $50 here, $50 there. So, excellent. So, what time? Again, 7 o'clock.
You got it.
Okay, and that will run probably 2 hours.
About 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Any inklings of who will be performing? Do we want to throw any of that out there? Or do you just...
Teaser alert. Well, I'll tell you this. We're going to have a couple singers, a couple dancers, a couple comedians, and we have a comedic magician as well.
Oh.
So, we have a good mix, which I like about it. It's not going to be a singing competition like American Idol. It's going to be more of a... sort of a multi-talented display.
So kind of like the old funny thing happened on the way to the forum. Something peculiar, something familiar. So,
comedy tonight.
Comedy tonight. Yes, there's going to be this coming Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to miss that. So supporting a great cause, the Creative Alliance of Baraboo, you talk about another industry that's been taking hits over the years. The arts take hits, I think, pretty regularly.
Right. We have to raise our own money.
Yeah, pretty much so. Which, you know, that's been the same since Mozart's time. I mean, they had to have patrons, so we have to have patrons, too. So I guess it's nothing new under the sun, as the saying goes. So, Ben, anything else we should talk about? Any other call-outs we want to make besides get a subscription to the Baraboo News Republic if you don't already
have
one?
Baby needs a new pair of shoes.
You have children. We didn't even talk about any of that background. So do you have a wife and family?
I do. I've got. I just got married last year.
Really? Oh wow!
Yes.
Fairly late in life. Did you?
It was second time around for both Barb and I, and we have kind of a Brady Bunch situation going on. I've got 2 kids. She has 3. So altogether, we have 5.
Till the one day when the lady met this fellow. It's coming out. I'm sorry.
And they're all busy in various activities. We have ball players, dancers, karate student, gymnast.
Wow.
Show they choir, are. Performers, all kinds of stuff. They've caught the performing bug, too.
Okay.
God help them.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's just like, don't get, my son is a big, well, both my son and my daughter, my son was like the comic actor, you know, loves weird role stuff. And he was like, Dad, I don't know about theater. I said, do you think? I'm like, Joe, you definitely have the talent, but you, I don't know if you have the desire. So, because you, in order to go into the arts, you better really, really, really want it, need right. it, can't do anything else, because it's, it's not for the weak of heart.
Right.
So, are you, so, and again, this weekend, coming up with your event, we want to make sure people are aware of that. Lots of cool stuff going on too. If people want to know more about the events that you've got going, they should go to your website.
Website's good. We also have a Facebook page for Cab Theater. It's actually been a busy time for us. We had 2 weekends ago, we did the first of what we call house plays, and they put on a great play called Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune, which is a 2-person show.
Cool.
And they put that on at a local B&B in Baraboo. But the idea is that if anyone wanted to put that on at their venue, including in their own living room, it's a portable play that could move around.
Okay.
That's part of our whole mission, is to not expect people to come to the theater, but take theater to the people.
Right.
And then this past weekend, we had our Play in a Weekend program, which is great. Youths sign up in advance. They audition Friday. They learn a short play all day Saturday, half the day Sunday, and put it on Sunday afternoon. So in a weekend, a play gets put on. And they did a funny send-up of Greek tragedy characters.
Very cool.
Called Gone Greek God. So that, yes, just happened. Goodness. And this weekend we have Cabin Fever, and we also have a Teens in Theater program, which addresses cutting and divorce and all kinds of, that's more of a dramatic piece.
Okay.
Addressing issues that face contemporary teens, and that has been produced a lot of different places, and there's plans to take it to the schools, and there's always a talk back session with counselors to sort of talk about, hey, this is something I'm going through. How can I get help? How can,
sure,
I work through it? Which I think is a great program, too. So, yeah, we're not a big group, but we're busy.
Well, and that sort of thing, too, I get inspired just listening to you talk about that stuff, because it kindles the thing in my heart that's always been there, which is live theater is so much different than any other media form. Not only does it combine all of the different art forms, because you have, you know, sound and lights and the art static arts of, you know, scenography and the things that go into all that design process, costuming. So not only is it a nice combination of things, but that impact that you have with being there as it's happening. I don't know that even as technology gets to the point where we have holographic stuff, that will be the same as having someone in your living room, as
right.
it were. And having that connection that happens between the actor and the audience. Because great actors will tell you that over and over again. It was a great show tonight. It was a great audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the audience fuels that in performers. And performers feed off of it,
certainly,
off of their audiences. So, you know, I always tell people, if you're going to a show, go to enjoy it. Go to be involved in it, because you will get more out of it when you do. Kind of like farming. Interesting. Got to plant seeds in order to grow things.
Only people don't applaud while you do it.
Right, please, because your plants won't understand. They'll say, why is he plant? I'm just corn. I don't know what he's doing. Anyways, as we wrap up today's great show, which has been a lot of fun, I just want to throw out a couple of other things that are going on around the area in addition to this great Cab Theater event. Art Shigoni is going to be here or in the area talking about eagles and Native American culture. He will be at the Trip Heritage Museum. That's tomorrow, Thursday night, from 6:30 until 9 p.m. So this is an educational lecture series commemorating 30 years of bald eagle watching days in Sauk Prairie. So there's also a wine and cheese reception. So if you come at 6:30, you get to have some wine and cheese. So,
beautiful.
What's, you know, my favorite kind of wining is done when there's cheese possible. And there, and then also at 7 p.m. the presentation will occur. Then also on Thursday night, February 9th at 7 p.m. sorry, to 9 p.m., the Woodshed Ale House is going to have another group performing there, the Driftway Thrift Dwellers. I love this. They describe it as, we play roll music. That's right. We have officially claimed the ripe, unused half of rock and roll. It's like nothing you've ever heard before. Guitars are played, and sometimes some other instruments. This one guy plays a pedal steel, and a cactus plays an electric bass, and maybe we'll find someone to saw up some fiddle, and one of several people may be hitting some drums. That's roll, folks. So if you'd like to hear roll music, that's right, no rock involved here, it's just roll, at the Woodshed Ale House on Jackson Street, right downtown. That'll be going on tomorrow night, February 9th at 7 p.m.
That sounds like something Cab Theater would dream up.
Doesn't that sound like, maybe you guys could do something together.
Like that,
yeah. Cab Theater and roll music. So, and Bald Eagle Watching Days, of course, those are still going on. There is the bus tour that, if you're interested, $5 per person. If you haven't gone gone out to see the Eagles get there soon. They don't hang around much longer when they get into February. From 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., the bus picks up down at Cedarbury Inn. So if you're interested in doing that, call 643-6625 because they do book those earlier. You want to make sure you get a ticket. If you're coming to do that, you want to make sure you get a ticket. Then also on February 11th, Saturday, Mid-Continent Railway is doing their snow train. This is a great, fun thing if you love trains. From 10 a.m., 11:30, 1 p.m., and 2:30 p.m. will be standard coach service on both Saturday and Sunday. And then if you want first-class service, because you're a first-class kind of person, then you can go at 11:30 a.m. or 1 o'clock p.m. There's also a dinner service train at 5:30 p.m. So if you're interested in that, of course, Mid-Continent Railway is out in Freedom, Wisconsin, but you can email them inquiries@midcontinent.onmicrosoft.com. Oh boy, that's a long one to remember. So if you don't remember, please just go to the website, sockberry.com, and you'll get more information about how to contact those guys. And then the Little Sweethearts 4th Annual Dance is going on also on Saturday 11th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. That's at the Sauk City Library. DJ Diaperhead, a.k.a. Ben Miller, will once again be spinning records in the library's lower level. It's the social event of the season for kids 0 to 5 years old and their families. So come on out to the Little Sweethearts 4th Annual Dance. And of course, we mentioned it at the beginning of the show. Also, this Sunday is our first annual McFarland's Winter McFarnival. So there'll be games for the kids, all kinds of free activities going on in here, a special savings game, the dynamic drop of discounts, where you can drop a little peg into a game and whatever, where it lands, you get different percentages off on making up your own sale. Just fun. We can't imagine how much fun it will be. So if you come, it will be even more fun. So please, this Sunday, we're not competing with any of the events I've been talking about, but this Sunday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., the event will be going on. So come on down, enjoy some food, some fun, some frolicking, and most of all, enjoy our company, hopefully. So, Ben.
I don't think I've ever been to a McFarnival.
Haven't you? Oh my gosh, McFarnival.
I haven't lived.
You know, I haven't either because I haven't been to one of your Cabin Fever events. So maybe we will both be able to live a little bit more fully and on the edge this weekend.
Beautiful.
So, okay, I'll come to yours, you come to mine. It'll be one of those great things, right? So, Ben, just a joy to have you. We'll have to have you back again maybe this summer when you've got some activities going on.
I'd be happy to, and now I know where I'm going.
Exactly. You'll know where to park. So, although between then and now, I think we're going to relocate the park to the other side of the building. We're just talking. I don't know. We'll see if you catch on when it happens.
I see. Okay. You're just messing with me is what you're doing.
Yeah, well, you know, theater people like to mess with other theater people, right? Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. I'm Mornings at McFarland's. We hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to WRPQ Radio up in Baraboo, Wisconsin, 99.7 FM. We're just so pleased to be a part of this new 2017 year and have great guests like Ben on the show. So thanks again, everybody. See you next week, all right?
Mornings at McFarland's with host Raul LaBrèche is produced live at our 99.7 FM studio at McFarland's in Sauk City. Listen again next Wednesday at 8:05 for another edition of Mornings at McFarland's. Today's show was presented by Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop and DeMars Plumbing.